The following is an original production of Mod Mobilian Radio.
You're listening to Babylon Mobile from ModMobilian.com and ModMobilian Radio. My name is Emily, and as per usual, we will introduce you to everyone first before we get into today's topics.
I'm Clay Bates.
Mac Lipscomb.
Caitlin Madison.
And we are coming to you from Caitlin's living room today. Which is excellent. She fed us chicken and dumplings. And Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid.
Never forget the power of Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a handful of things for us to talk about today. Before we get into any of the heavier stuff, I do want to remind you that the Gulf Coast Explorium Science Center has received a $35,000 challenge grant, which means an anonymous donor has pledged $35,000 to them if they can raise a matching $35,000. You can donate, any little bit helps, but you can donate to the Explorium. Just go to Mod Mobilian's Facebook page and you'll find the link for that. So there you go.
Good things.
Very good things. Speaking of good things and ways that you can help people, if you haven't heard yet, we've talked about it a few times on here, but local downtown legend, door guy extraordinaire, Mr. Luke Rivers, has a wonky knee, fell in the line of duty, and jacked up his knee. Caitlin from Haley's is here to tell us a little bit more about that in a way that everyone can help. First of all, right now, ongoing, is the human tribe. And I'm going to let you explain that to folks.
Yes. That was actually set up by Lillian Dean, and you can go on and buy a Human Tribe necklace, and 75% of the proceeds will go to Luke. We are also currently accepting donations at Haley's. You can drop that by any time between 3 in the afternoon and 4 o'clock in the morning to any of our bartenders, and they know where to put it so that it gets to Luke. Also, on November 10th, we will be hosting a benefit that will have all kinds of fun stuff. It's $10 at the door. We will have gumbo, raffles, live music. We have many, many artists that have confirmed that they're going to show up and hang out. Matt Neese, Ross Newell, Greg Fells, Sherry Neese, guys from many, many local bands will be there having kind of a jam session and getting down. Clay Bates, he's going to bring his drums for us.
Sunshine Factory. Will be there.
Jinx. but yeah, it's a great cause. Luke actually fell and shattered his knee, so he is going to be out of work for quite a while. And, you know, as is the service industry, we need to pull together and help.
Yes, and like Caitlin said, if you have $5 you want to donate or more, you can stop by Haley's at any point while they're open and leave it with the bartender. November 10th is a Sunday. It's from 2 until 6. So go and do brunch, swing by Haley's, and as it is with daytime parties that Haley's tends to throw, you'll see past and present folks there.
It never ends at 6. And it never ends at 6.
Oh, no. Oh, Lord, no. It ends when you're calling a cab or someone's calling a cab for you. Or someone steals your keys and says you can't drive until you can say the alphabet. All these things have happened to me.
Or it's Monday morning and it's time to go to work.
Oh, yes, this is true as well.
Just go straight there.
If you want more details on Love for Luke, which is the name of the fundraiser taking place November 10th, just check out modmobilian.com, Modmo's Facebook, and of course Haley's Facebook. You can get all the details there. And the raffles and stuff, like the local art that's being donated, is phenomenal.
Yeah, there's gonna be raffles. We're gonna be selling some local made goods, like farmers market type goods. We're also gonna have silent auctions. We have lots of local artists donating art and jewelry and all kinds of things. So it's really gonna be one of the bigger events that Haley's has ever put on, and it's definitely a great cause. Luke has been downtown for 20 plus years, you know, worked in more bars than I could name. So definitely come out and help out and show a little love for Luke.
Definitely. Because if you've ever graced the door of Haley's, you've met Luke, and he's awesome. And if you've ever been at karaoke at Haley's, which is tonight, by the way, you've seen him sing Rubber Band Man, which I think's brilliant when he and Jordan do that. So, again, more details, modmobilian.com, modmobilian Facebook, and Haley's Facebook page. Woot! Staring at this little dog. Little dog, little tongue hanging out. Just precious. Just precious. Things that aren't so precious. Kids getting pissed off and shooting up the place. Clay?
That was the best lead-in ever. And probably not the first time that that's actually been said to me. Yeah, there's... I don't have actually all the details pulled up in front of me, but wanted to touch on the fact that there's been three school, not just shootings. You usually can just rattle it off. Oh, a school shooting, there's another one. Well, this time it's even more in depth than that. There's been a couple, two of them were actually stabbings this week. One was in Massachusetts, one was in Texas, the other in Nevada. The one in Massachusetts, a 14-year-old stabbed his teacher and drug her outside and left her in the woods after class. What the hell is going on?
I mean, that's just, I'm sitting here shaking my head when I hear stuff like that. What is so bad that causes kids to go off the deep end like that? I don't know. It's really quite sad. But I'm trying to wrap my head around it, and I really can't.
It's kind of, it's weird to me, and it's alarming that this kind of stuff now, whenever it happens, it seems to be happening in, like, record numbers at a time. You know, used to, I mean, back when, like, when Columbine happened, it shocked everybody because it was, like, kind of one of the first, like, big major things like that, at least to people of our age and our, yeah, you know, our generation or whatever. So that was kind of like the, you know, the watermark moment for something like that. And now it's like all the, you know, it's like happening all the time. I mean, once, you know, maybe once a month.
And yeah,
it's three or four at a time whenever it happens.
And that's one thing that should, like, never be commonplace, or that people should hear and just be like, oh man, I can't believe another school shooting, or now stabbing, any kind of violence at school in that capacity. It's quite scary.
Well, it's getting to the point now where it's like when you hear that and you're just like, oh, there's another one.
Yeah, you know? That's what I'm saying, like where it feels almost commonplace.
Complacent with the situation.
Yeah, it's like there's a tornado. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Something bad happened again.
Oh, we have a hurricane again.
You know what I mean? It's yeah, it's horrifying to think that that kind of thing is now becoming commonplace, and we just kind of shake it off with every day's news. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Have in those three cases, has there been any report as to why the kids broke like that?
Mac may have a little more. Well, information on
right
that.
Now I'm actually reading on the one in Massachusetts, which was the teacher getting killed by the 14-year-old student. Apparently, she was the favorite teacher of all the students at that school. And she was also a very attractive lady as well.
I did read that yesterday.
So, they're not really sure why, but apparently he showed no remorse. Like, after the fact, he went to a fast food place, got some food, and then watched a movie. Like, right after he did it. So, But they are saying that she was, like, the most beloved teacher there. And she was a very attractive lady. I just looked at her picture. And
yeah, she was 24.
She was young, yeah.
Yeah.
but yeah, he won't answer why. He's been in jail since it happened, and apparently they're finding more evidence, like a bloody recycle bin is what he, like, wheeled her into the woods with.
Wow.
the cool thing is that all the schools up there on the North Shore of Massachusetts, they closed down afterwards for like a day of, I guess, silence for her. But yeah, he's actually in jail with no bond, so that's good. But yeah, they still can't figure out why he did it. I'm just going to assume maybe he, like, was infatuated with her. I'm going to assume, because, like, yeah. I said, she's
all
a pretty
the
attractive.
All the reports that I read on the kid himself, I mean, the, you know, it was the typical, oh, he was a nice guy.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, so it's something made him snap, apparently. Who knows? Maybe there's a huge scandal we don't know about with this one, because it's kind of weird.
Do you know anything else about the other two?
I'm about to look up that right now.
So in the meantime, while Mac looks that up, what's society's responsibility to don't even know the right words.
It's hard to say because, I mean, culture in the States has changed so much in the last 50, 60 years to where, you know, it's kind of hard. I mean, yeah, you put it on the shoulders of the parents to, you know, raise their kids properly and teach them the right things. But at the same time, there's so much stuff that comes across the TV and the internet and stuff now that wasn't out there in the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s that, like, kids didn't have access to. I mean, now it's, you know, you sit in a room and kill people on a video game all day long. It's not a big deal.
You just kind of desensitize yourself to that kind
completely.
Of violence.
I mean, yeah, I think most American kids are completely desensitized. I mean, the conversations that I overhear, like, younger kids having in public frightens me. It shocks the hell out of me. And I'm not a conservative person at all. You know, I have a mouth like a sailor and probably could be better about that. And I definitely say things out loud that I shouldn't. But I'm also an adult and I'm allowed to do that. But, you know, it's like when you hear stuff like that coming from kids, it's like, oh, my God, like, what are they thinking about? I wasn't thinking about that when I was 12 years old.
The one in Nevada was also the teacher that was also killed. I'm pulling that article up right now. Hold on. Oh, wow. He was our ROTC dude.
This is in what?
The one in Nevada.
Nevada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the ROTC guy. So they don't know why he was killed either. So this
is all this stuff. This was just within the last
week,
2 or 3 days.
Yeah, it's been.
So they're still investigating. I mean, they all happened like in a row. And it was like.
Well, the Nevada one students were also injured as well, because he just kind of went crazy and started shooting. And then there was a kid in Washington State that was 11 years old who brought a handgun, knives, and 400 rounds of ammunition to his middle school on Wednesday. They were able to stop him before anything happened. But
400 rounds?
400 rounds. And this is a middle school kid, 11-year-old kid.
What are these people doing with all this stuff? That is a whole other.
And being a parent, this kind of sucks because I don't really know if I like my kids growing up with all this kind of crap going on.
Well, I mean, I think that's the point is where are the parents in all of this?
Exactly.
I mean, 400 rounds of ammunition, a child cannot walk
exactly.
into a store and buy that. And where is your gun safe? You know, as
exactly.
someone who advocates for gun rights, I'm an avid gun owner.
Yeah, I own them as well.
Yes. Get a safe. Put your rounds and your guns in your safe and keep them away from your kids, middle school or younger. That's just insane to me.
And, you know, then safes are not that expensive anymore.
They're not. And teach
exactly.
your kids. You know, it's like Clay was saying about kids, the things that they're saying these days, it all goes back to parenting. Yeah, society's different. Yeah, we don't live in a Donna Reed society anymore. However, sit down and talk to your kids, spend time with them in the afternoon, and at least, you know, talk to them about life and the world that's going on around you. Give them a little perspective.
Yeah, it's just kind of screwed up. I don't like it at all. I mean, I remember Columbine happened, all that kind of stuff. It was everywhere. It's like, oh my God, this is, you know, but it's just it happens every year. There's something scary that happens out of school. But yeah, don't have kids if you're not going to take care of them, I guess is the best way to put that. Stop making life harder for everybody else by not taking care of your damn kids.
I don't think that thought crosses a lot of people's minds. It's kind of an afterthought. It's like, oh, I'm having a kid now. What do I do? Maybe I should just buy a television. It seems like what's going on. Oh, we'll just get him an Xbox. It'll be okay. Well, speaking of kids and fighting and bad times, the Leroy Hill coffee man trial was settled today, actually. And
that was a long fought thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been going on for quite some time. I mean, let's see. When he died in 2009, and allegedly he had a deal, some kind of contract with his first wife in 1983 that would have left his huge home in Grand Bay and the entire company to his four kids. But somehow that document went away, doesn't exist anymore, and the second will and everything had been left to his second wife. So his kids were given nothing, basically, out of this. I mean, you know, but most everybody around here is familiar with Leroy Hill Coffee. That's a pretty big local entity, big money maker. But anyway, the kids were awarded almost $7.5 million in damages. So, I mean, that's a good chunk, but I feel like there's probably a lot more money in that somewhere. I think they probably are still getting screwed over a little bit. But at least
Are they getting screwed over if that's what he left in his will? That was his choice.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I guess what I'm saying is he left. Initially, he left them everything. And I don't think everything is, you know, $7.5 million. I think if you've been by and seen that house and that all that land, yeah, it's massive. Yeah, that's.
I've never seen it, so I can't comment.
I've done renovations in that house. It's ridiculous. The banister by itself costs $4,000 to restore.
It's a big place. So yeah,
that was on the inside the whole time.
I was looking at this headline going, $7.5 million? Like, you know, maybe I'm way off, but it seems like that was kind of a low number. But I'm sure they're happy that they got whatever they got. Thanks, Dad, for kicking the bucket and giving us some money. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Speaking of happy with what you got, we're going to get into sports a little bit early with reflections on the Alabama-Arkansas game. Let me just say, before we even get to the Alabama-Arkansas game, since we speak about this every week and she's yet to ever listen to it, my stepmom, who always seems to kick off our sports segment, is no longer speaking to me after the Georgia-Vandy game. She sent me a very strongly worded text message.
Oh, was that your stepmom?
Yes.
I read that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was one of your friends. I didn't realize that all that backtracking and vouching for her precious Bulldogs was your stepmother.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. And we won't get to that. I'll just let you know that quarterbacks don't win games by themselves. So it doesn't matter where Aaron Murray's ranked or where AJ McCarron's ranked. It's a team effort.
Woof woof.
Whatever. Anyway, so Alabama, Arkansas, 52-0. Caitlin had a good point earlier where you get a little tired almost.
I'm so bored of Alabama kicking the crap out of everyone else. I love them, roll tide. However, can we let the other team score a couple of touchdowns?
Just to, you know.
Just maybe one.
Just to make it feel like a game.
Make it feel like a game.
Not a scrimmage.
The problem is, that, and from a non-Alabama fan, the problem is there's not a whole lot of people that can keep up with you guys. And that's,
well, you know.
Yeah, I know. Brush your shoulders off or whatever.
No.
I'm just saying. It's the way it is.
But the whole point of us saying that is that yesterday is when I came across it. There was an AL.com article. It was probably an excerpt taken from Saban's Hey Coach program that happens every week. Him basically saying, if, you know, my players play for 60 minutes, stick around for the whole game, or give the tickets to somebody who will, because Bryant Denny, after halftime, was a ghost town. And my stepdad, not to be confused with my stepdad and my mother were up there for the Alabama-Arkansas game, and they stayed till the end. He's an alumni, so any chance he gets to sing Rammer Jammer with the Million Dollar Marching Band, he's going to do. But that was his big thing when they got back. When we saw them Sunday, was so many people left, and that the cheerleaders actually did a big thank you. They went around and thanked all the sections that stayed to cheer on Bama. But what do you do? What do you do when, you know, like how Caitlin's pointed out, we're stomping them. We're going to beat them. They're not going to score. You stick around.
I think that if you're going to drive to an away game and you're going to spend money on tickets, or you're going to get tickets and you're going to make the effort to go, that you should stay to the end of the game. Yeah. It's one thing to change the channel because we're whipping the, you know, pants off of them, but it's another thing to leave the stadium, because that is kind of disrespectful to the players and the coach, in my opinion.
To me, it's like leaving a theater in the middle of a performance.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem I have with people not finishing out games when it's like that, 9 times out of 10 by the second half, it's 3rd and 4th string and 5th string and 6th string guys in there. So if you really care about your football program and you see what it's going to look like in a couple of years, watch the later parts of those games so you can see who's going to be starting for Alabama Crimson Tide next year.
That freshman that just beelined it down.
Oh, Derrick Henry? Oh, Derrick Henry is a
technical stuff. I just want to say, before we start getting into technical stuff, because I don't know all the technical stuff, I just know what I care about. And so to see that freshman just taken off, and in the background, don't call him Nick, in the background, you see Coach Saban with his arms up, not making an angry face, but just like a, geez, man, thought we were going to do that play and then maybe take a knee, didn't intend for us to score again and keep running it up. So he didn't have angry Coach Saban face, but he didn't have pleasant Coach Saban face. He kind of had that, I just ate a prune face. And wasn't so very pleased. Don't call him.
But no, Derrick Henry is actually he was actually our highest recruited person last year. He holds all Florida State records in high school for rushing. He rushed like 687 yards a game his junior year of high school. He's a freak, and I can't wait to watch him play next year. It's ridiculous. But yeah, it was funny seeing coach's reaction to that touchdown. It's like, he's like, really? We really didn't need that, but how could he be mad at that kid? He's like, I got an opening, I'm going to take it.
Well, there's a good chance he's going to make that face again this weekend because you're playing Tennessee.
But what did Tennessee just do this last week?
I don't know.
They beat South Carolina.
That's right.
Clay, I know you were...
I'm sorry. I was in Stillwater at the Oklahoma State game, so I wasn't.
And they took Georgia into overtime. Karma. So.
Well, speak on that, like how. SEC.
We're getting there. It was every
teams in the top 25 lost, five of which were SEC teams.
Yep. Tennessee taking out South Carolina wasn't really that much of a surprise for me, considering they took Georgia into overtime last week, well, the week before last when they played Georgia, or the week 2 weeks before that, because that's before Georgia played Mizzou. Mizzou did exactly what I thought they were going to do to Florida, and that shellack them.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what they did.
A&M
getting beat by Auburn, which. Also said last week was going to happen, and I'm so happy with that because
LSU to Ole Miss.
Yeah, we'll see. Bo Wallace was running his mouth for the last 2 weeks going against Bama and A&M.
He's been running his mouth all season.
And then he just shut his mouth and played football and beat LSU.
It's amazing what that does.
It is, and it just goes to show that in college football, anybody can beat anybody any day.
True.
Momentum's a big thing.
On that note, a couple of big games. This week, Saturday, you've got number 2 Florida State against NC State.
Upset alert.
Probably an upset alert game to watch. Not that, Florida State is weak. NC State's 0-3 in the ACC. So,
but they always play Florida State tough. Always.
I think that'll be a close game. You got number 3 Oregon taking on number 12 UCLA.
Who is coming off a tough loss.
That will be an interesting game for the Big Ten fans. Ohio State played Penn State. Probably shouldn't be much of a matchup, but no. You never know what will happen. South Carolina against Missouri.
Go Mizzou. I have a feeling they're going to run the table and be undefeated against Alabama and Atlanta. I'm calling it right now, SEC Championship, undefeated Missouri against undefeated Alabama.
That'll be interesting.
I feel bad for Mizzou, but I'm just saying.
I don't know.
The SEC East just kind of fell off the planet this year.
It's going to be Bama versus whoever's behind them, probably, in the title game. In the national
game. Not talking about SEC title game. It's going to be Bama and Mizzou.
Yeah, but even that doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
It's like, okay. I mean, Georgia, don't get me wrong. If you're listening to this and you're a Bama fan.
Oh, I'm not, yeah.
Tooting your horn, cool. Understand, this is coming from the darkest place of my heart because I'm not an SEC or an Alabama fan at all. But the facts are the facts. You guys are the best team in college football, and you're gonna play whoever happens to be number 2. But Florida State, cool. They might actually give you a game.
I think Florida State gives actually a very hard time.
For God's sake, somebody shows up better than Notre Dame did last year.
I felt bad for the Irish. Not really. I would take that back. I didn't feel bad at all.
Sorry, not sorry.
I can't stand them.
Let's see what else we got this week. Stanford, Oregon State. Oregon State's actually ranked 25th. They're playing Stanford in Corvallis.
Which is always tough.
Texas Tech, number 10, against number 15, Oklahoma in Norman.
Are we pulling for those Red Raiders?
Oh, yeah.
I'm making sure.
Yeah, absolutely. other SEC games, LSU against Furman, Auburn against Florida Atlantic. Texas A&M against Vanderbilt.
Yep, and Vandy came off that big win against, somebody, but they just beat the crap out of the Dogs.
Yeah,
sorry.
She's not gonna hear it, so it's okay.
Okay, well then, beat the crap out of those crappy Georgia Bulldogs. I'm sorry.
Looks like most.
We love you, Delane. We're sorry.
Most of the rest of the games are not huge, big profile games. The South Alabama Jaguars are playing Texas State this week.
Which will if they beat Texas State, that pretty much puts them in control of the Sun Belt.
Yeah, they're pretty much in contention to win the Sun Belt.
The only person they're tied for Troy right now,
which would put them in a bowl game in their home stadium.
Yep.
Which would be kind of interesting.
Which would be awesome.
It's good for the city.
Hey, they almost beat Tennessee.
True.
They should have beat Tennessee, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they've beaten some other, I mean, decent teams in that,
and they got Navy
in that conference.
Week.
So, moving along to the
scene. Well, I want to talk about Auburn real quick, though.
Oh, go ahead.
Auburn fans, do not get discouraged. You are having a good season, yes. But.
No.
I'm not heckling. I'm not heckling. Let me finish. Y'all are having a good season, yes, and y'all did beat Johnny Manziel. So, kudos to that. Just don't get so mad about that one loss. You had LSU since LSU just got beat by Ole Miss. LSU's kind of showing that they can't really go down the stretch. But it was still that was not a bad loss for y'all.
That whole
thing. Congrats.
You're having a Delilah moment.
What do you mean?
You're consoling the Auburn fans.
Well, no. I mean, I've talked to a lot of Auburn fans this week about that win, and they're like, you know, I just can't believe we lost to LSU. LSU stinks. I guess really and truly A&M's not that great, which means, you know, Bama kind of sucks and all this kind of stuff. And I just want to say, no, it's not true. That's how it is. That's what they do. It's just, I don't get it. It's just, hey, take the win and just move on.
Well, speaking of moving on.
Yes, please.
We, let's see. In the pros, local stuff, Saints against the Buffalo Bills in the Dome. Bills have had a couple of good wins.
They have.
Young quarterback, rookie quarterback. So they, yeah, you never know. Mm. I want to call Saints all the way on this, but after watching them play the Patriots a couple of weeks ago,
and EJ Manuel can do more than just throw the ball.
It was a little shouty. So we'll see. We'll see how that turns out. Cowboys against Lions. Dez Bryant against Megatron.
Romo against
receivers. That'll be pretty interesting to watch. And the only undefeated team left in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs, playing my beloved lowly Cleveland Browns this week
in Arrowhead.
In Arrowhead Stadium, in Kansas City. I will prepare myself a large bottle of whiskey and a huge box of Kleenex and drink and ball my eyes out probably while we lose. But
he might win. Jason Campbell's getting the start.
Starting Jason Campbell. Thank God we set Brandon Whedon this week.
Yep. Hey, and that goes to Auburn fans. Look at that. Jason Campbell's playing.
Yeah. You know what? I'm happy for him. At least the guy finally gets a fair shake.
Yep.
Other notable games. Jets and Bengals in Cincinnati. 4-3 Jets against the 5-2 Bengals. Jets have really been showing up lately.
Geno Smith coming into his own. The defense
really
is settling down.
That's a surprising team, and that will probably be, besides my team, that'll be my game to watch this week, I think.
That's really about it. I mean, because there's so many people hurt now. Like, you know, dang it, I forgot his name. Bradford.
Yeah.
He's out.
He's hurt. Cutler's out.
Cutler's out. There's a couple other people that are out.
There's a few people that are. Oh yeah, who's it for Green Bay that was in the in ICU the other day after the Browns game? I don't know why the name escapes me. Anyway, a lot of injuries last week. A lot of shakeups in the NFL. So
a lot of trash talking as well.
But the scheduling is kind of weak this week. You've got, you know, your big Sunday night game is Green Bay against Minnesota, which is not going to be anything interesting to watch, I'm sure.
No.
And then the Monday night game is the Rams against the Seahawks, and the Rams don't have a quarterback.
Nope.
And Seattle's on a tear. So, if you're an NFL fan.
Yeah, the best thing to do is look out for the trash talking right now between all the coaches. Rex Ryan's on a tear right now.
Yeah, Shiano's probably about to lose his job in Tampa Bay.
Bill Belichick and Rex Ryan are having this huge discussion over that penalty when the Jets beat the Patriots. The pushing penalty?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they're having a big, huge heated argument with that, and it's pretty awesome to read on.
Tonight, the Thursday night NFL game is really, really awesome, and I'm also really good at sarcasm. it's Carolina Panthers against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 3-3 Panthers, 0-6 Bucks in Tampa. This might be Shiano's swan song.
Because I don't really get it, because that secondary is probably, like, when it comes to star power and athleticism, it's probably the best secondary in football. You got Darrell Revis, Mark Barron, Golston. I mean, it's pretty solid. But
it's pretty strong, but being a Browns fan, I got to
go. No, the Browns.
Buster Screen and Joe Hayden. Those guys are
freaking beasts.
Those guys are really coming on.
So Shiano's probably out because they're saying that the team hates him.
Probably so. I mean, if I was 0-6, I'd probably hate my coach, too.
Well, they said it's like his style of coaching, the way he talks to players. It's all kinds of crap, but he's just losing his team.
Yeah. Well, World Series again tonight?
Yeah.
Bad showing by the St. Louis Cardinals.
They were very
last night.
Sloppy.
It was a sloppy game.
For a team like that, they're never sloppy. They're always like precision, just do exactly methodical almost with baseball. You just know what they're going to do. And then last night it was just horrible, but it should be a bounce back night because they got Waka on the mound.
Yeah. I got to watch the Cardinals play in St. Louis this year, and they really are a sharp team. I mean, they, you know, mm-hmm. great pitching, great bats. I mean, they, you know, they play well together. They're a pretty sharp ball club, and last night to watch some of the errors and things that were made was really surprising. So if you're a baseball fan, you're watching that tonight, expect St. Louis to come back with a vengeance. I think they probably take
that. I just hate Waka's nickname. Waka Flocka Flamethrower.
I don't listen to hip-hop. I don't really.
It's horrible. That's what they call him. Yeah, exactly.
I know what the kids are into.
I was like, you're going to get this little pasty white dude. That nickname is kind of funny. But, you know, Waka against Lackey. Lackey has, he's kind of inconsistent, but you know that. You're a Yankees fan. You know how inconsistent Lackey is.
That, go Cardinals.
I'm just kind of, I don't really know if I want the Cardinals to win it again. Because that'd just be back and forth between the Giants and the Cardinals for the last 4 years.
I know. I just have a personal issue with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
You're Yankees and anybody that beats Boston. And I'm okay.
It's kind of like
okay
me, Alabama, and whoever beats Tennessee.
Speaking of Boston,
yep, first season without Doc.
My poor Celtics look abysmal. I mean, they're
it's bad.
It's bad.
It's rebuild year for us.
So the NBA is going to be a totally different thing this year. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, Brooklyn and Miami and.
Well, you heard Melo wants out of his contract.
Really,
Melo wants to be a free agent.
Well. You know,
so maybe
it's going to be an issue.
Maybe Boston can go after Melo. That'd be nice.
Things are really going to. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't even know if I'd want him, honestly. But
I need somebody besides Rajon.
Things are going to have to shake up in the NBA eventually. With, you know, with everybody just breaking contracts and jumping ship, and everybody going to play on the same team. It's, you know,
and Doc Rivers leaving Boston.
Should be some sort of superstar rule in the. In the NBA, where you can't stack your teams,
just put a cap in there.
Yeah, there should be.
There should be like, a cap in NBA in it. And yeah, I think there should be a cap in MLB and NBA. Personally, put a salary cap on both.
It's not so easy to happen in baseball.
No, it's not because the contracts are so lengthy and all the different incentives involved. But yeah.
For sports, so this has been Babylon for Mod Mobilian Radio. Mac,
Emily, Caitlin, I'm Clay Bates, modmobilian.com. Check us out also on iTunes, podcast over the weekend. So thank you
very much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Peace out.
Roll Tide.
Just inside the movie with the Memphis Blues.